December 4th. It's hard to believe that this year has flown by like it has. It's fast. It goes by. It was just a few days ago we celebrated Thanksgiving. We may have welcomed some people into our homes. A lot of us probably did. Had a Thanksgiving dinner. We brought people in. We welcomed them into our home. So I wanted to think about that for a second. How'd you welcome those people into your home? Probably welcomed them with open arms. Maybe a hug. Maybe a kiss. You greet them at the door. You want them to come in and feel at home in your home, don't you? You want to bring them in and make them comfortable. You probably hung up their coat. Offered them a drink or something, a glass of tea. Come on in. I want you to feel comfortable. If they had special needs, had a broke leg, you might give them a place to sit, a special place to prop their foot up, you know, make them comfortable. They come in from a long flight. They were tired. You might give them a bed to sleep, take a nap. Take it easy, right? Many times we welcome guests into our assembly here. We welcome them with open arms, don't we? Come on in. You know, we want you to be comfortable here. I hope that nobody ever slips through the cracks and leaves here without being welcomed. I don't think that happens very often. From what I've seen over the years, this group here is very welcoming, very loving group of people. welcoming people into our homes, our Bible studies, wherever we're at. My question today is not how we welcome people into our lives or our homes, but how do we welcome the Holy Spirit into our homes, into our lives? More specifically, how do we welcome God's Word into our lives? God's inspired Word. You know, a minute ago I talked about how we welcome people into our home, but how do we welcome God's Word? What's that mean? Does that mean that we have a Bible and a concordance up on the bookshelf in our home? Is that welcoming His Word into our home? Does it mean we keep a Bible in the car at work? Is that what it means? We carry a Bible wherever we go. A lot of us have it on our phones. I do. Does that mean I'm welcoming God's Word to carry that phone that just happens to have a Bible app everywhere I go? Does it mean that we take that Bible and read it every day? Maybe we open that app on our phone. Does that mean we're welcoming God's Word? That's a start, but that's not what I want to talk to you about today. I want to talk about how we truly welcome God's Word into our lives. If we're going to truly welcome God's Word into our lives, we've got to welcome the change that comes with that Word. If you open the Scriptures and you read it, and you take it for what it is, it will tell you some changes you need to make. Looking at Ephesians 4:17-24, Paul says, Now this I say, and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous, and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy, to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ. Assuming that you've heard about Him and were taught in Him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds. To put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Look at what Paul says here. Assuming that you've heard about Him and were taught in Him. So the first thing you do after you've been taught and you've heard is you put off your old self. Why would you put off your old self? Paul lays it out here. He tells you why to put off your old self. Because your old self belongs to your former manner of life, and it's corrupt through deceitful desires. It's corrupt. Some versions say being corrupted. So what does corrupt mean, actually? We all know what corrupt means. Webster's says it implies a loss of soundness, a loss of purity, loss of integrity. The Greek word used here, pronounced thero, means to waste, decay, and wither away. So being corrupted, we are wasting away our old former manner of life. Paul used that word figuratively here, not physically decaying or wasting away, but figuratively, like meaning to ruin or corrupt or to cause deterioration of one's inner life. So I know some people might be thinking, that's a little strong. Corrupt is a strong word. Surely that doesn't apply to me. I'm not corrupt. I may be a little flawed, but I'm not completely corrupt. Romans 3:23 says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned and fallen short. Even people that have been Christians for many years may have changes for the better that they need to make. This is a lifelong process here that we are changing. Many times those people are the only ones who know that they need to make those changes. Maybe they have bitterness in their heart. Maybe they have complacency in their life. Old habits that are dying hard. They do die hard. They may be the only ones that know that, but we need to be changing. Even if we've been a Christian for 40 or 50 years, we need to be changing for the better. So what do we do? How do we need to change? Nobody wants to be corrupt, right? So Paul says, he says we need to be renewed in the spirit of our minds, verse 23. Spirit of our minds. That's our hearts. We need to be renewed in our hearts. Paul says that our hearts, all of us at one time or another, have become callous and they're greedy to practice every kind of impurity. He says they must be renewed. In verse 24, they need to be recreated after the likeness of God in true righteousness and true holiness. We change our hearts, our minds. In Romans chapter 12, we read, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind." This is a renewal. We put off completely that old self and renew our hearts. But that sounds, when you think about it, renewing my heart, that sounds tough. Because think about our heart and how it acts, how it feels, how it thinks. Do you tell your heart to get sad? If a loved one passes, you don't tell your heart to get sad. It just does. You don't tell your heart to be joyous when someone's graduated school or you have a friend that's married or has a baby. You don't tell your heart these things. It just happens. So how do we change our heart when it's something that seems to happen and do things so automatically? I think we have to remember a few things. We have to get at the heart of the matter to change our heart. So we need to remember a few things. We need to remember the first thing is what's at stake. What is at stake with our change? Whether we change or whether we don't. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. "Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." So you remember what we read a minute ago, that we need to be renewed in the spirit of our minds and put on that new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and true holiness. So if we say that we love God and we want to be with Him for eternity, we have to change. We see what Paul's saying in 1 Corinthians. He's not looking at it like the world does. When the world sees some of these things, he's listed as okay. Paul even lists the greedy, drunkards, swindlers. Many of those things are okay in the world today. they're not okay for God. If we love God, we need to change. We need to remember whose word it is that requires us to change. Then we know, we say, this is God's word. It says the Holy Bible on the front, but we need to keep it in mind whose word this actually is. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Paul writes to the Thessalonians, and we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers. They accepted the word as what it is. It's the word of God. This is our God, our Creator. God created everything that we know and see, and so much more. Whether we know it or see it, He created it. We can't even fathom all of what God created. He still took the time to knit us together. Like Psalm 139 we read last week. You formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. This is our awesome Creator that spoke into existence everything we see and still took the time to create us. But He's telling us, I have something to tell you. He has this Bible. So He's given it to us. So this awesome God that takes the time to care for us has some words for us. He says, hey, I have something to tell you. I wrote it down for you. It's all right here. And if we want to be with Him in heaven, we'll study it. We'll obey it. Third thing to remember, you know, we need to remember what the cost of this is. So we're changing so we can see what? So we can see salvation. We need to remember the price that was paid for that salvation. We may think we have to give up some things here. We may have had to give up some things here. Family or friends. It's possible. Luke chapter 14. Jesus says we need to be ready to lay aside anything. It says if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Now, he's not talking about actually hating your family, but he is showing us what's more important. If family draws you away from God, you have to draw a line there. If anything draws us away from God, we have to eliminate that. We have to draw ourselves away. We need to remember that cost that He paid for our salvation. God sent His only Son down to earth to take on our sin, just to be mocked and beaten and tortured and suffer on that cross. Jesus, He's suffered on that cross. Endured the torture for hours of that cross. Kind of makes anything we give up here on earth seem minuscule. Another thing we need to remember to keep on our heart is that it was our sin that put Jesus on that cross. It was our sin that put Him there. Now, sometimes people don't want to hear that because Oh, I don't want to be depressed and think about that. I don't think we need to be depressed when we remember that it was our sin, because at the same time Jesus hung on that cross to take those sins away from us. Those sins are no longer ours. They put him there. But if we'll just follow Jesus, he's taking them away from us. We should be humbled by that. We should realize the necessity of obedience, this change. But we shouldn't be depressed. It is our sin that put him there, but we do not have to be slaves to that sin anymore. We don't have to be. So we need to remember, keep in our minds these things. If we're going to change down in our heart, remember what's at stake. Eternity is at stake. It's our Creator that wants us to change. Remember that. And remember that Jesus paid the real price for this. Anything we have to pay on earth to accomplish this change is minuscule. Remember that our sin put him there. But that, remember at the same time that you remember that it's your sin that put him there, that because he went there, we don't have to be slaves to that sin anymore. If you'll keep these things on your mind, your heart can be renewed, can be changed for that true righteousness that Paul talked about, that true holiness that God's looking for. So I talked about welcoming people into our home, into the assembly, welcoming God's word into our lives. There's somebody else that's welcoming with open arms. I read in Matthew chapter 11, Jesus is begging us, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly at heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So you don't have to be a slave to sin anymore. You can make that change. You can start that change today. Perhaps there's some here that need to make a change, that have never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Perhaps there's some that have obeyed and they're struggling with some of those changes. We're here to help you. You got to remember that this is a loving group and we're not here to judge. We're here to help you, to pray for you, to pray with you.
Sweet is the promise, I will not forget thee. Nothing can molest or turn my soul away. Even though the night be dark within the valley, just beyond his shining and eternal day. I will not forget thee nor leave thee. In my hands I'll hold thee, in my arms I'll fold thee. I will not forget thee nor leave thee. I am thy Redeemer, I will care for thee. Trusting in the promise, I will not forget thee. Onward will I go. I shall be remembered in my home above. I will not forget thee nor leave thee. In my hands I'll hold thee, in my arms I'll hold thee. I will not forget thee nor leave thee. I am thy Redeemer, I will care for thee. When at the golden portals I am standing, all my tribulations, all my sorrows, I will not forget thee, O Lord.